Okay. Now, we're on to the next subject, LD 1810, an act to implement the recommendations of the Governor's Ocean Energy Task Force.
So,
we've made some good progress on this, and where I believe, I believe under Part A, we have taken out most of the objectionable, if not all, of the objectionable language. Is there some submission?
There's something coming around that apparently is from IECG. It doesn't have a date or label, as far as I can tell. Oh, wait, your request. Okay. But yesterday you went through the bill, and Todd and Beth walked through the amendments, and then last night and this morning, Todd and I worked on integrating all the amendments that had been discussed through yesterday into, you have two pale yellow documents. The one is an actual physical markup of the printed bill. And then at places in which there was more than we could just easily, I could easily write in the space available, there are is a set of insertions that are numbered and that fit in at various points in the bill. There's also you should have a white handout that's three pages, I believe, in length that says Section 810 at the top. And that we didn't quite get it labeled, but it's insert number 4. You'll see on the list of inserts, when you get to insert 4, it says see separate document. So that goes along with this. Can you find that document?
We have a total of 4 inserts.
What? No, there's inserts. There's 10 inserts, but they're all on one document.
Oh, okay.
And then 4 was a longer piece that was still being worked on, so it's separate. But they're in order of how they appear in the bill.
One says insert 1. Yeah,
yeah, that's all. You just need that one and this.
Okay.
Sorry, we tried to make it clear. But so if you go through the bill, you can see on page 1, it says see insert number 1, and there's an amendment to those whereas clauses that was proposed by Representative Adams, and with some further edits suggested by Representative Wagner.
Yes.
Is reflected as insert 1 on the companion sheet. You discussed all of those yesterday. Then you'll see, if you keep looking at the bill on page 2, section A1, that the bill is being removed entirely. Over on page 3, lines 9, the underlined language on lines 9 through 24 is removed. Over on page 4 is kind of busy in the markup, but there's replacement language, which has Beth and Todd reviewed with you yesterday. For the language on lines 1 through 7 on page 4 of the printed bill, it's insert 2 on the companion sheet. Some rephrasing of the potential over time for renewable energy resources in the state and the Gulf of Maine to provide enough energy for homeowners and business to reduce their use of oil and petroleum fuel heating systems, which is a softer version of some stronger language that was in the original bill. Section A4, which was a very controversial piece of the bill, as you can see, is entirely deleted. There's a small amendment to lines 19 and 20 on page 4, small in the number of words that has changed, but it just states, in terms of wind energy development, that it's the policy of the state to encourage, and takes out the reference to political subdivisions and agencies. Down at the bottom of page 4, subsection 3 there is being removed and replaced with insert number 3, which speaks to the encouragement of tidal and wave power development, whereas in the bill it was simply addressing tidal power development. And that's at the bottom of page 4 in the printed bill and insert number 3 on the companion sheet.
Is that Mr. Thurland's? Is he the one that brought that up? Or?
I'm not sure who.
The wave. Oh, the wave guns. He's the title guy. That's right, the wave guy.
Continuing the bill, on page 5, the heating conversion program is entirely removed and deleted, as is over on page 6. The moral obligation credit enhancement program is out. And then I think we'll come back to A10, which is the issue about the competitive solicitation and long-term contracts, which is sort of a larger issue with the separate handout and I think some additional thoughts and comments. So I'd like to just set that aside and come back at the end once we've worked through the remainder of the issues. So then there's a big section of the bill that is not being proposed to being changed, and that's the early set of pages in Part B, which is the submerged lands leasing program amendments. Once you get to page 14, there's an amendment to insert. This is in provisions regarding renewable ocean energy projects, again, within the submerged lands leasing law. And this inserts language about provide with appropriate provision for avoidance and minimization of and compensation for harm to existing public trust-related uses and resources, such as fishing and navigation. Then it's going to insert balanced consideration of potential adverse effects on existing uses of the marine environment. And then it goes on to say restoration of affected lands and so forth. So it inserts the concept of potential adverse effects on the marine environment. Over on page 15 is a requirement that in the pre-application meeting, interagency pre-application meeting that the Bureau of Parks and Lands holds regarding an application for a lease or easement for a renewable ocean energy project on submerged lands, that the Department of Marine Resources would be included in that meeting. The partway down that page, there's an inserted text about providing notice. And again, this gets to some of the marine resources stakeholders and their interests, so that in reviewing an application for a lease or easement for a renewable ocean energy project, the director of the Bureau of Parks and Lands must provide notice to the Advisory Council of the Department of Marine Resources and any Lobster Management Policy Council, in which or within 3 miles of which the zone that proposed development is located. And it says that the Advisory Council and the Lobster Zone Council may provide comments, and the director must consider such comments. Lower on that page, there's just some language cleanup of using the term rent instead of lease fee for consistency with existing statutes. Over on page 17, there's some language proposed to be inserted, which is insert number 6 on your companion handout. These are sources of funds within the Renewable Ocean Energy Trust that's being established. And this is a list of the funds that must be transferred into for deposit in the trust. And it's adding language that says within 80% of the submerged lands leasing rental payments for renewable ocean energy projects. And then it adds in and wind energy demonstration projects and tidal energy demonstration projects for which a general permit has been issued. So it pulls in the pilot projects, the rents from those for 80%. Let's see. And then there's again just changes of lease fees to rents over Part C of the bill, which was the provisions regarding the tax treatment of these, is being replaced in its entirety, all of Part C, and the replacement text is shown as Insert 7 on the top of page 3 of the insert handout. And this is directing Maine Revenue Service to examine and make recommendations to the Taxation Committee and the Utilities and Energy Committee, an analysis of the ways in which the renewable ocean energy machinery and related issues, how they're treated within a certain specific tax laws. So that instead of amending the tax laws, having a clear analysis of what how they're treated under the current tax laws and whether there's a need for amendment. So that takes care of Part C. Moving over to Part D, which is amending some of the LURC statutes. Over on page 20, there's a clarification of the definition of community-based offshore wind energy projects, limiting it to having an aggregate generating capacity of less than 3 megawatts, and striking out some criteria that were related to the projected production relative to pertinent island communities. So it's just making a clear 3-megawatt limit there. Down on the bottom of page 20, this is LURC's review of applications, and you'll see it cross-references insert 8, and this appears in similar parallel language in two places in the bill, and it's trying to address what issues are going to be decided and reviewed by the submerged lands leasing program and in the Bureau of Parks and Lands versus here, LURC, and in another place, Department of Environmental Protection. So you'll see the language says, in making a decision under this subsection, the commission, being LURC, may not consider the specific criteria designated in. And if you want to look what those criteria are, they're in the bill. I believe it's on page 11 of the bill, lines 14 to 22. And this says, this is what the director of the submerged land, in the submerged lands leasing review, the director, in order to grant a lease, must find that the proposed lease will not unreasonably interfere with navigation. And there's four things listed here. So insert 8 is to try and clear up the way that sort of jurisdictional issue between what the different departments look at is being addressed.